Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back, which this week has peeled back. All of those statistics are true if you're white. If you're not, we rank near the bottom.
Nevertheless, Minnesota's governor has called in thousands of National Guardsmen to try and control the violence over the weekend. Nationwide, there were protest curfews in Atlanta, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Seattle. The Guard's been activated in 15 states. The Associated Press says some 4,400 arrests have been made in total. However, thousands more demonstrated peacefully in places like Phoenix and Albuquerque. Protesters set fire outside the White House. The now ex-Minnesota cop, by the way, Derek Chauvin, has a court appearance a week from today. And we'll know about that. WBLSH. Well, we have back to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, everybody, as promised, my special guest is a noted politician. He's an attorney, a political correspondent for CNN. He's been on the front lines of covering the widespread protests and riots. And so we invited him to join us so he could shed light. He's an incredible orator when it comes to speaking about how we feel and what we think and really what's going on. So please welcome to the show our buddy, Mr. Bakari Sellers.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Hey, man, listen, first of all, I want to do something because I want to congratulate you on your brand new book. He's got a new book out, everybody. It's called My Vanishing Country, a Memoir. And I don't know if you could have written this at a better time, because it speaks on a black man's journey through the South, past, present, and future. Tell us about the book, Bakari.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And when you write a book, you never expect or want your book to come out during a pandemic, to say the least. But in this book, I just talk about, I outline the pain and trauma of what it means to be black in this country. I was born into a family out of struggle. My father was shot February 8, 1968 by law enforcement in what's known as the Orangeburg Massacre. And three other young men were killed, Henry Smith, Samuel Hammond, and Delano Middleton, on the campus of South Carolina State University in HBCU. And I chronicle that all the way through the pain and trauma that most people don't even imagine. A father going to prison, getting out of prison and having a felony. My mom gave birth to my big sister while my father was actually still incarcerated. So all of that trauma, bookend with the fact that I lost my good friend in 2015, Clemente Pinckney, who was the pastor of Mother Emmanuel AME Church, when Dylan Roof walked in and shot him in the neck while they were praying after Bible study and killed eight others in what's called the Charleston Massacre. And so I just talk about this pain and this trauma. And although my trauma may not be your trauma, I try to talk about the perseverance and hope that's required and necessary to be a person of color, to be black in this country, and systemic racism and systemic injustice that we see playing out right before our eyes today.
Yeah, I think too, man, when your book comes out at a time like this, I think it's kind of specially placed. Because this is a good time for it. I mean, it's a lot of people still at home. I know I'm still practicing social distancing, and the TV business, Hollywood is closed, so that type of work for me is off. And so, we all do our radio shows from our homes now because of technology. The book, everybody, is called My Vanishing Country. It's a memoir, and we're talking to such a compelling time for this book to come out and what Bakari is telling us about. So I want everybody in the Steve Harvey Nation, let's go out and get a copy of this book, man. You can download it too. But it's called My Vanishing Country, a Memoir. When we come back, we're going to talk with Bakari about what's going on today in this country and what his views on it on all of it. So we'll be right back with our special guest, Bakari Sellers.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, everybody. We're back. Our special guest this morning is Bakari Sellers. Now, I want to tell you all something. He's got a book out. Listen to me. It's called My Vanishing Country. It's a memoir. And he was telling us before the break, it's about a black man's journey through the South, past and present. And it's sort of really telling because a lot of it is very fitting of what's been happening. You talked about his father was murdered in 68 and the other people and the friends he's lost along the way. And I think I don't know a black man in this country that don't have that story. Because, man, I've lost so many friends and relatives and along the way. And now we're here in this these deaths. So we got Bakari Sellers. Now, Bakari, with everything that's going on, man, what's your take on this? How are you seeing this play out?
Yeah, you know, my father was is still with us. He just got shot in 68. So
I had sent him on. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm sorry. My bad, dog. He still lets me borrow $200 every other week. So I'm good. But you know, you brought up a good point, and racism is killing black people in this country in two ways. Systemic racism is killing black folk in this country in two ways. First, through COVID-19, and people want to say, why are black people dying at higher rates than their white counterparts? And the reason being is because we have these systemic injustices. Take the story that I tell in My Vanishing Country about where I'm from in Denmark, South Carolina. I grew up in a food desert, which means that you can't go 2 to 3 miles to get access to clean fruits or healthy fruits and vegetables. You're drinking dirty water. So you're more inclined to intake pollutants and things that are not good for your system. You're inhaling bad air. Because you're living next to a brownfield or manufacturing plant. Your hospital's closed because you don't expand Medicaid, so you don't have access to quality care. And you take all of these systems and then you overlay it with the pandemic. You understand why, and you know this saying, my father says it all the time, when America gets a cold, black folk get the flu. Well, now America has COVID and black folk are dying. And so you look at those disparities and those injustices, and then you look at Ahmaud Arbery, who got killed in a good old-fashioned South Georgia father-son lynching. You look at Breonna Taylor. They served a no-knock warrant, and they killed her. They shot her. They shot at her over 20 times. And then you have George Floyd, who died with a knee to the neck for over 9 minutes. And all of this has to do with one simple fact, Steve, that since Emmett Till, Medgar Evers, Jimmie Lee Jackson, beyond them, we have never received the benefit of our humanity in this country. You cannot tell me that those officers, they looked at George Floyd as anything but being less than human.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of saying that they killed him like a dog, and somebody corrected me because they said if he was a dog, all four of those officers would have already been arrested already.
Brother. That's right. Hey, Steve, could I ask Bakari a question? Could I ask him a question? Hey, Bakari, this is J. Anthony Brown. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina, and I went to school in Denmark.
Denmark Tech. Trade
school. Yeah, I went to Denmark Tech. So my question to you is, how much has Denmark changed from when you left? I know it's probably changed a lot since when I left. It was a long time ago. How much has it changed since you left?
Well, I'm still really close. I'm just in Columbia. But I'll tell you this, the city that once was a bastion for economic mobility, you used to know my grandfather, Cleveland Sellers. He had the motel down there and the fish joint downtown and drove a cab. And, you know, my family's been in Denmark for 75 years. And, you know, what once used to have all, like most of the Black South, you had small businesses. You had one or two plants where people had those $15, $20 an hour jobs. All of those things are gone. And so what I knew to be my home, to be where people could actually, black folk could have a middle-class lifestyle, that's literally vanishing before our eyes, let alone the ideals that this country promised us. And so now is the time for real solutions. You want people to get out the streets. Don't tell us to just go vote. Give us real solutions. We're tired of doing the same thing over and over again and still getting killed and becoming hashtags.
Now, I want to tell you all something. He's got a book out. It's called My Vanishing Country. It's a memoir. So we'll be right back with our special guest, Bakari Sellers.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, everybody. We're back. Our special guest this morning is Bakari Sellers. He's got a book out. It's called My Vanishing Country. It's a memoir. It's about a black man's journey through the South, past and present. Listen to me. Here was the thing that I thought. I thought when social media came out, and I thought that once they saw what we knew was already happening, once they could see the video of Rodney King, of Eric Gardner, of if they could see it, then they would get it and that would solve it. I can't tell you how wrong I was.
Because here's a video with proof.
I'm only 35 years old, right? And, you know, I talk about the trauma I've lived through. So I can only imagine with more years in this world what that means. I look at my father, who's 75. I'm 35, and we have many of the same shared experiences. And I bring that up to you because we had the picture in Ebony magazine of Emmett Till. Oh, Emmett Till was brutally beaten and lynched and thrown in the bottom of the Mississippi River. And his face was beaten, and he had no bones left in it. And his mother had the courage to allow the world to see what racism and bigotry had done to her son.
Mm-hmm.
They saw that, and they didn't care. They saw what happened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge on Bloody Sunday. Right. And nobody cared. And so right now I am telling people this, that if you are asking for peace without asking for justice, you just need to be quiet. Right now is a time not just for peace, but it's a time for justice to become a verb. And people are ready to see action.
Right. And I tell you what's making this appear to be different from me. And because I started speaking out about it a couple of weeks ago, until whites become outraged.
Mm-hmm.
It won't change. And so mm-hmm. this is what, like on CNN last night, New York, they're protesting in New York. And I'm talking about, you're talking the epicenter of this COVID-19. And to see that many New Yorkers come out, they're mostly young people. And 99% of them have on masks, but they're out in the streets protesting. To see them in Atlanta protesting, to see them in Kansas City protesting. I mean, I'm looking at whites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to give me a little sense of hope here. Because now it's not just black people that you have to arrest. You're going to have to arrest some other people. And the New York Police Department moved out in large forces last night, man, to try to clear it. And these all of these, what are they having, curfews and everything. Mm-hmm. But look, man, I'm like you. I get it. And, you know, for reporters on there talking about what the looting makes no sense. I got it. Don't. But let me explain something to you. If, mm-hmm. as Martin Luther King said, that rioting is the language of the unheard. If you're not listening, and I could take this brick and throw it through this window. Can you hear me now? Now, for the looting, I don't agree with it, because that's taking the process too far, and I want us to be very careful, because they are looking for a way to, as I told one of the callers today, they're looking for a way to change the narrative. And especially with this president we have, so we've got to be careful, because he's got his finger on the National Guard button, because he wants to appear like he's doing something as the president. And instead of making sure that justice is served, he got his button on to send in the National Army right now. And so we got to be careful.
True indeed. And you know, one of the things that I'll say, just to piggyback on what you're talking about, people are looking for someone to channel that energy and where to channel that energy. And so when I'm talking about making justice a verb, I'm talking about doing things like lowering the federal standard to bring civil rights cases against these bad officers, criminal cases against these bad officers.
Right.
I'm talking about making sure that we limit qualified immunity so they can't hide behind their shield when we sue them. And think about this.
Come on,
think about this, Steve. You know, George Floyd paid for the law enforcement police department that killed him, because mm-hmm. the Department of Justice, our federal tax dollars, goes That's to these right. police departments, That's and right. they don't have to have any accountability. They don't have to have any transparency. They don't have to have any oversight. And so, if we're going to pay for these police departments, they have to have those things, because George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, they literally paid for monies to go to the police departments that killed them without any oversight.
Yeah.
So these are some of the tangible things that I want people to offer. I'm tired of Democrats and Republicans telling me to just go home and vote, wait till November. No, I want something now, because in November, at the rate we're going, that's at least 10 more black folk they done kill.
Oh, wow.
Man. Yeah, he's keeping it wow. all the way.
100.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. All the way.
That's the interview and scene.
Drop the mic, right?
Hey, listen, man, I got to tell you, listen, everybody, his book out is called My Vanishing Country. And what a great title. And you just didn't know it was going to drop at this particular time, but it is, man, My Vanishing Country. I mean, you would think that we would be saying away with this and we're getting better and better, but it seems like it's taking a turn for the worse. And I think the book is a great read. It's called My Vanishing Country. My Vanishing Country, a memoir. And I think it'd be great reading. It's something we can all pick up on. And Bakari, thank you for always being out front, brother, speaking on our behalf so eloquently. Thank you, brother.
And as a young brother, you didn't have to give me this platform and lift my book up. I think it's timely. I'm just really grateful for you always being there for us and giving us an opportunity. So thank you, man.
Hey, man, I'm with you. Thank you. Bakari Sellers, everybody. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. Twins.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.